In summary, it's, trying to limit the governor's and in some cases mayor's rights, or whenever they make some sort of limitation on our personal liberty, that at first there's some sort of rationale that they have to be able to explain why they did it. And having explained that, there has to be some metrics like, okay, when this crisis has passed and certain things have occurred, that certain restrictions come off. And it's basically what's referred to as a sunset clause, where there's a time-bound limit to the emergency powers, the emergency restrictions, in this case under COVID-19, but also it could be under any emergency, any future epidemic or natural catastrophe or something. So basically that they have to have some rationale that they can explain why they made their decisions. But more importantly, there's the sunset clause that, again, it can't be an indefinite rule. It has to be, the rules have to expire, and they also have to go away when certain metrics are reached. When, for example, a certain number of beds are free in the hospitals, when the capacity is back down to a certain level, certain restrictions are lifted, and personal liberties are gradually, over time, or altogether, restored. But should be a very metrics-based, takes the subjectiveness out of the equation, make it into an objective calculus, and when certain metrics are met, that's it. Those restrictions are lifted. That's basically the main gist, and there's also a part of the COVID-19 Bill of Rights that I propose that allows the patient and the doctor to decide the course of treatment without interference from the state. Of course, somebody wants to do something like hydroxychloroquine or something like that, then the state, the governor, can't tell you no, that these decisions have to be made between the patient and the doctor. But if you want to go into that in more detail, you can go to libertyrelearn.com, and I have a blog posting on there. It's very prominently posted on there, the Citizens COVID-19 Bill of Rights. So you just need to take a look at it if you haven't already. But with that in mind, I want to take a look at, for example, because it's very important that all the states come up with plans on how we're going to get out of this, how the restrictions are going to be lifted. And you see that happening in many states. Many of the red states, Texas, Georgia, and other states have plans. Florida seems to have a good plan for when they lift the restrictions from COVID-19. But all of these plans are not equal, and there's a little bit of a problem, particularly in the blue states, with some of these states' plan. They're not really plans. They're just kind of wish lists. And they really don't follow the principles that are set forth in the COVID-19 Bill of Rights that I just referred to earlier. And so we're going to take a look at one in particular. This one is one for New Jersey under Governor Phil Murphy, which he put out a plan a week or two ago. It's his, what's he called, the New Jersey, the Road Back, his plan. It's six principles that have to be accomplished before easing of restriction. And as I understand it, all of these principles have to be done before restrictions can be lifted. Now, it's kind of funny, he's lifted restrictions on golf courses and beaches. I don't know what the metrics were tied to that. Apparently, that was just, there were no metrics or no rationale other than, you know, there was public support for opening the beaches and the parks and things of that nature that shouldn't have been closed, and it was ridiculous. You know, you're going to close a state park where people can be even farther apart than they normally are at home or at work. But, you know, that was the restrictions. And golf, I'm like golf is like the perfect sport. If there's a perfect sport for playing in this environment with social distance, it's got to be golf. Okay, not a whole lot of people, you know, it's not exactly a contact sport. So, but he lifted the restrictions to those due to public pressure. So, good job, New Jerseyans, for getting him to do that. Problem was that it was really not tied to any metrics or anything like that. It was only public support that really got those restrictions lifted. So, just going over his road back plan. Again, it violates some of the principles that I think should be followed in any state's plan to reopen. So let's start with this. Principle one, I'm just going to read it right off the website. Demonstrate sustained reduction in new COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. 14-day trend lines showing appreciable and sustained drop in new COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and other metrics reflecting decreasing burden of disease. Hospitals stepping down from functioning under crisis standards of care. Okay, so this one, so far, so good, is pretty good. It is conditions-based. Talks about a 14-day decline in hospitalizations and decreasing cases of the disease. So that one's pretty good. It meets the qualification that has to be conditions based. It's not just something that the Governor Murphy, have enough people got out of the hospital yet? No, not yet. Let's have a couple more get out before we release the restrictions. No, that's not what you want. You want there to be a definite number, different in this case, it's a time period of 14 days. The only problem I have with that, it doesn't really name any particular restriction that can be lifted. I guess it can, it's just a criteria for lifting any restriction. But it's better than nothing. It is, again, conditions based, so that one seems okay. Principle number two, expand testing capacity. At least double current diagnostic testing capacity. Now, my problem with that one is, well, first of all, what's the testing capacity? Okay, there should be a number attached to that. Okay, it should be something like if testing capacity reaches X number of tests per day or per person, or something like that, the restriction can be lifted. There should be a definite metric. We should know the number of, it should be double. What's double? Double from today or double from yesterday? What testing capacity is doubled? And are you talking about testing for COVID-19? Are you testing for the antibodies? What are you testing for? Some combination of both? What testing are you looking for to double? So, no, that fails. It doesn't have any metrics. There's no number attached to that condition. All right, and there's a couple other conditions that are basically just nebulous. It doesn't give any numbers on that basic principle. So, principle number three, implement robust contact tracing. Okay, now this is the scary one for particular civil libertarians, the idea of people tracing your contacts. That's not something that gets people interested in civil liberties excited and makes them a little bit worried, and probably for good reason. Now, this is a tried and true method that probably has been done for, you know, for as long as there's been epidemics, as long as we've known about germs and how the diseases are spread, we've been doing contact tracing. So that part in itself is not new. Finding out, okay, you've got this disease, who do you work with, who did you talk to, who did you meet in the last 14 days or whatever. That things are good because you want to try and find those people, see if they had it. Maybe you can trace back to the infection, to the source. But that part is not, in and of itself, is not really the problem. That's kind of a tried and true method. What they're talking about, though, is doing things like through technology. Like you may have heard about doing it through the cell phones. Your cell phone gets too close to someone who's been diagnosed with COVID-19, and some alarm goes off or something like that. And this idea is that it would relay the name of that person that you contacted, or every person in your contact list. It's very it's an invasion of privacy. It goes against the Fourth Amendment rights of illegal search and seizure. You know, you cannot just get this information. You know, you haven't been accused of a crime. Your crime is being sick. Okay, last time I checked, being sick is not a crime. So they have no grounds to search you and seize your property or do any of that crazy thing. So no, I would definitely object to, and of course people are talking about putting chips in the people and making them carry passports and things like that, and it's like no. You know, it's like in that TV show, you know, Danger, Will Robinson, danger. You know, that this is like, you know, red lights flashing for, particularly for civil libertarians. And like I said, I don't too much care if they want to call my boss, people, you know, let my work know that I've come down with it. Then my people I'm in, you know, I live with or work with, letting them know I have it. And it can be done anonymously. I mean, people usually know when contact tracing is done. They pretty much know usually who the person is. But yeah, there can be anonymity connected to that. But like getting technology involved with that, particularly the idea of like implanting chips in people or anything of that nature, or making you download a cell phone app that tracks your every movement and who you may have came in contact with. No, that's, you know, there's just too much potential for abuse there. And so that's a hard no on anything beyond you calling people that maybe you've been in contact with, that you supply their names to, and that you do it voluntarily. You cannot be compelled to do that. Okay, so principle four, secure safe places and resources for isolation and quarantine. And that says here, to the greatest extent possible. Well, I'm going to stop you right there, Governor Murphy. Okay, to the greatest extent possible. That's a little bit too nebulous, a little bit too open-ended. I need some, no, not to the greatest extent possible. I want to know the number that you have in mind. That if when you find secure, safe places to quarantine people, so I don't know why that's a problem, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Well, it could be, but you know, to the greatest extent possible, no, you can't do that. We need metrics. We need to know that when a certain amount of safe places have been found to quarantine people, then that's the metric, and that's been met. But again, like, what's wrong with just quarantining people in their own home? I think that would work for just about 99% of people. There might be some homeless people that you have to find homes for, find places for them to convalesce. I mean, but of course, if they're that bad, I mean, they're going to be in a hospital, so they're going to be quarantined anyhow. So I'm not sure what he's trying to get at, and it doesn't really go into much detail about what he's talking about, secure, safe places and resources for the isolation and quarantine. Like I said, your home would be the obvious place. I mean, what are they going to take you out of your home and quarantine you in some internment camp for sick people? So yeah, that's another no. Principle five, execute a responsible economic restart. Well, that sounds pretty good. It says create the Governor's Restart and Recovery Commission to advise on the process and recommend responsible and equitable decisions. And it goes on, it gives some other criteria, but that's mainly what it is. What I don't understand there is why wasn't that done weeks ago? You've known all along, I guess, that New Jersey is going to have to reopen at some time, right? So why didn't you plan for that? I mean, like the second that we're at, I can see like the first couple weeks you're in a crisis mode and you're making decisions. But once things start to calm down and we've flattened the curve and now we're downward trend on cases, looks like. That should have been the time to start talking about creating a commission restart. That should have been done a long time ago, but no, that was only just done apparently this past week. So he's a little bit behind on that. I guess once the people are named, that we can check that off, that box off, and that's no longer a thing. So that's kind of metrics based, I guess. So that's sort I'm sort of okay with that one, but I'm not really impressed. Should have been done, like I said, weeks ago. But okay, you have your commission, so you can check that box off. Principle six, ensure New Jersey resiliency. Learn from the lessons of COVID-19 and prepare for the possibility of a resurgence. Well, yeah, there could be a resurgence. I think most people think that when we open up, there's going to be a resurgence. We don't know how bad it's going to be, but there's going to be more cases than probably the day before the restrictions are lifted. That seems to be what the way that epidemics work. From what I understand, this probably will be the same case here. Ensure hospitals and healthcare systems and other health delivery facilities have inventories of personal protective equipment and ventilators. Now, this one makes me think of New York Governor Cuomo, who was begging for ventilators and begging for PPE because he didn't have them. He did not have a plan. He just had a joke of a plan. I think his idea was that, well, he was told that he needed a certain number of ventilators, and he chose not to buy the ventilators. Instead, he decided to spend the money in some a green energy deal with solar, some failed solar initiative. So he wasted the money, and that those millions could have bought a lot of gloves and masks and PPE and ventilators. But instead, he decided, well, how are we going to reallocate the ventilators that we have? Not much of a plan. He just wanted to put that off and spend the money on something else, some other pie in the sky green new energy deal. But getting back to New Jersey, again, it's like, why did we not have enough PPE? And also, we know that Obama, after I think it was the bird flu epidemic or H1N1 epidemic, I'm not sure which one, but basically we depleted our stockpile of PPE, and President Obama never He never replaced that used up PPE. So on the federal level, we can see that our response was poor, and we were caught behind on that level for not having enough PPE. But the idea of the federal level of like FEMA, that's only supposed to fill in the gaps for the states. States don't have enough, or their equipment gets washed away in a hurricane, or is unavailable, or you know, can't be reached, or is insufficient. And the idea of the federal response is just to fill in the gaps. It's not supposed to totally fill the state's requirement for things like ventilators, PPE, things of that nature. That's not the idea. The states are supposed to take care of their own emergency management plans. And some states, apparently, like New York, didn't do so well. And so that was a problem. I don't know how you measure that. I don't know how that ties into what does Governor Murphy say? That, he's fine with the after action, and now we can be free to do our own thing. I'm not sure what happened there. But anyhow, so yeah, I would say that mostly Governor Murphy's the road back is full of roadblocks. I think he needs to go back to drawing board and tell us exactly what the metrics are for these and what exactly happens, what has to happen for restrictions to be lifted. So that's that. I want to get on to more of the idea of conservatism next, as promised. We'll finally